Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thank you, Linnell. We're Grant and Danny, Darris and Ryan, producing as always. You're listening to The Fan. Kick off your future with the law firm of Condori and Murad. They are the official G&D show sponsor, and they will help you protect your assets, update your will and trust. Schedule a free estate planning strategy like my parents did. Go on over to their Fairfax offices like my parents have. You can visit kmlawyers.com and mention the show to get a discount. That is kmlawyers.com. BetQL, guest hotline, former NFL executive and GM and executive of the year in the National Football League, Randy Mueller. You can follow him on Twitter at his name with an underscore at the end, M-U-E-L-L-E-R, for the last name. Randy, good to catch up with you. How are you?
Doing great, guys. What's going on, man?
It has been too long. Appreciate your insight and you giving us a few minutes. I know you've been busy. I want to start with your thoughts on Adam Peters, Lance Newmark getting to work first. Free agency period running Washington, 12 external free agents, 13th if you count re-signing Jeremy Reeves, still have over $60 million to play with. What do you make of what they've done?
I actually like the plan a lot. I like the fact that they are going after really quantity, not necessarily the top end, you know, bounty that you have to make a hard financial commitment to get. I think, hey, let's face it, Commanders weren't a very good team. They needed to change the face, they needed to continue to build, and that doesn't surprise me that they haven't re-signed the free agents who were on this team before. So I like what they're doing. I said early on it was exciting for Commander fans because, one, they had cap, and two, they had a couple guys that I think are good evaluators, and that's a great way to get better as a team. So the makings were there, and I think they're progressing. I think it's, you know, they still have some things to do, obviously, but don't look at it as having $60 million burning a hole in your pocket. I think it's more apt that how we spend it wisely will be the determining factor.
Randy, what's phase two here? Obviously, you know, they went, as you mentioned, I don't want to call it bargain shopping, that's disrespectful, but some good value shopping, I guess, is maybe the way to put it. What do you think the next phase is for this team to add talent?
Well, I think there's still really good values out there. I think this year, for whatever reason, phase two kind of blended into phase one. Usually there's the top guys that get paid that first two or three days, and frankly, teams try to stay out of that fray. But this year, I think you were able to find some bargain deals, like you mentioned, the Commanders were involved in. So I think phase two is kind of in the middle of it right now. I still think there are some really good players, and I don't think this free agent pool is what it's been in the past. I think it's better, and I think that's why I find – very little fault with a lot of what these teams are doing around the league as a whole. I think they've gotten better. They're spending their money wisely, and they're not just flushing money because they have it. And we know that the teams had $30 million extra thrown their way in the cap the last week before even it opened up. So I think you'll see some more values to answer your question. I think these things happened in the past, these value signings, maybe in May and June. I think you're going to see them happen the end of March and first part of April.
Why is the free agency pool better this year than it normally is, in your opinion?
I just think there's more quality players. I think players have found their way to free agency. Look at the running back crew. I mean, those guys were all top of their position for the last 3 or 4 years in the league, and they're all free at the same time. Now, I think you've got to handpick some positions. I don't think there was great depth at certain positions, but even as we sit here, which really I'll just say for the lack of a better term, day four in free agency, there are still edge rushers available and speed receivers available. That never happens. Those skill sets are really hard to find, and usually those guys find their way to the top of drafts every year. But there are still some quality guys that I think can rush the passer and some perimeter players that can spread defenses available at this stage of free agency. You just don't see that.
Randy, you mentioned wide receiver. That's something Grant and I have been kicking around on the show today. What might make sense for Washington in terms of that receiver market to kind of go opposite Terry McLaurin? And the jury's still kind of out on Jahan Dotson, a promising rookie year with some injuries, and last year was a big step back. I just kind of wonder what fit you might see, if any.
Well, I'm not against re-signing Samuel, I'll tell you that, because he's got a little bit of everything. But if you're looking for a little size, those guys factor in. I think it's okay to kind of wait and play your card slowly. I would be, if I was them, interested in seeing what happens with Keenan Allen with the Chargers. That's one to me that I think the production that he would bring, the leadership that he would bring, he would be great for a new staff someplace like Washington. I think he's got skins on the wall but can still play. I know that for a fact. He'd be a guy I would think would be a great fit there. So you can kind of pick your spots a little bit, but I think Curtis Samuel has been enough production that he should factor in as well, because these speed guys are going to disappear. I'm telling you, guys that can run fast.
Randy Mueller is with us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan, former executive of the year in the National Football League. Randy, they're obviously likely to take a quarterback at 2. With that in mind, how much should that have changed, like, the way that they put their blueprint together, or thinking now about what they do at wide receiver or tackle or any of the other areas where they might make moves? Like, how does that factor into the algorithm for them?
Well, I don't know about 2. I think that's going to happen on its own accord. I don't think they've got how hard is it to stack 2 names? You're going to get one of them. So
assuming you're taking a quarterback there, like, yeah, what else are you doing around that?
Well, what I want to do is, and they have this luxury to check as many boxes as they can prior to the draft so that they can then take the best available players. I think when you start drafting to fill out a depth chart in rounds 2 or 3 or even 4, that's problematic. That means you're bypassing over some really good players at some other positions. And I think in this case, if they can solve a few issues before they get to the draft itself then can be used at its best when you can draft the best players. And so just so happens that a couple of them still might be filling needs. So I think that should be their strategy. I think it will be. I have faith in the decision-making there, and I think that will happen at the end. But I think they can make some hay. I mean, you say they've signed a dozen guys already. It wouldn't shock me if they end up with signing 15 or 16 before the draft even starts. And that just gives them all kinds of options to maneuver, maybe not with 2, but with these other draft picks that they have.
Randy, are there any free agent tackles, offensive tackles, that you like?
Well, I love the Illuminor kid who signed with the Giants, I'll be honest with you. I thought he was the best tackle in this group, and technically he may even play guard, but he played really good at right tackle for the Raiders. I don't think that's a position that was great. There were a lot of guards and centers that were really good, but tackle is a struggle, man. I almost think and this has always been my theory, you've got to draft tackles and fill in at these interior line positions. So they're not growing on trees in free agency. If they are, they're getting paid giant money, that's for sure.
Let's talk about the number 2 pick. You have been running draft rooms. You have been a guy in the league who's had to make the tough decisions at the top of the board. How much have you studied the quarterbacks? And if you're them sitting at 2, what would you be thinking? Who would you be leaning toward?
I've studied them a lot. I think it's a good group to study. I think it's part of the reason why Baskin-Robbins has 31 flavors. Everybody gets to select their kind they like. I think in this case for the Commanders, Cliff Kingsbury is going to have a lot of input. His system has to have a lot of input. You've got to find the skill set that fits what he's going to ask them to do best. I think he got a little indication of that when you signed Marcus Mariota, that wants a guy that can move around a little bit, has kind of been there, done that. I think there are a couple of these guys that I really like. I think Caleb Williams is a class of his own. So we're just talking about, for me, the three guys under him, you know, Daniels, McCarthy, May, in any order. And I think depending on who you ask, they might come back to you in a bunch of different orders. So for me, I'll be honest, I like J.J. McCarthy. I see what's there, and I see where it can go. And I think it's a great fit for what Cliff's doing. Jaden Daniels is the same way. He can process information from the pocket, but yet he's athletic enough and he's accurate. So I think those two guys are really the guys I would choose from. I know there's some sentiment for Drake May. I just haven't seen enough of that to say, wow, this is exactly what I want. I think there's some developmental issues there that still have to happen. So, you know, Cliff will have a lot to say. Coach Quinn will have a lot to say. I know Adam and you mentioned Lance. They'll have a lot to say. I say it kiddingly, but they should be able to stack two of these guys on the board.
So you mentioned that you think it's kind of a tell that they signed Marcus Mariota, a mobile guy that's, you know, a bit more playmaker than he is dropback. Do you think they would want to pair a rookie quarterback of a similar type, or is it, you know, are they one of those teams that has a guy that's a contrasting style coming off the bench? Think, you know, Richardson in Indianapolis and Gardner Minshew behind him, or something like that. Do you think that's a bit of a tell, Randy?
I think the tell for me is that the athleticism that Marcus has always had, the system that he ran at Oregon is very similar to what Cliff did. So I think that's he'll be their backup. I don't think there's any question about that. You're not going to pay him like they did and not. I think it probably the odd guy out for me probably is Sam Howell, but you know, they're going to have three in some fashion as well. So I don't know. I have no clue what they're going to do. I know what I see and what I like. That doesn't mean that somebody else is going to like the same flavor.
Our guest, the former executive of the year and a former general manager. Can we double click on McCarthy for a second? Just because a lot of people have suggested he's going in the top 10. We're starting to hear his name come up in the top five. But to just be straight up, you're the first guest we've had on who's actually talked about Washington taking him at number two. So you really, really like him. Can you dive into that more?
Well, I just see if you're talking about tight window throws, which is what happens when all these guys get to the NFL, they're not throwing to wide open fields anymore, wide open spaces. They're tight window throws. I think J.J. has the best arm and fits things in tight windows better than anybody, maybe even Caleb. That's for me, his calling card. He's athletic. He has touch. He can process information. He understands, I think, the game. Is there some wet behind the ears? Sure. He's not even just turned 21 years old, so there's going to be some maturity there that comes with it. But I think the disconnect for a lot of evaluators outside NFL buildings has been, well, I just don't see this or I don't see that. If you watch enough tape, you can then connect the dots. And I didn't have any problem connecting those dots. I'm not saying I'm right. And I don't care when these guys get picked. I'm trying to project who will be the best 4 or 5 years from now. So I like McCarthy for that reason.
So you also mentioned Drake May, there's some developmental things that you didn't love, at least at this stage. Can you go into that a little bit for us? Because he looks like he's straight out of central casting, 6'4", 225, can move around, has a cannon for an arm. There's a skill set there that's pretty intriguing, right?
Everybody says the same thing. He's 6'4", he's 220. I get it. I'm not here to beat up Drake May. I get it. I see what everybody sees. But I don't quite see the cannon arm or the accuracy that these other guys have. So that's where I struggle a little bit. I don't see the release being clean like these other guys. So I think he'll get there. I think these are things that need to be cleaned up, especially with his footwork as well. It'll happen for him, but I would hate for him to have to have the weight of a franchise thrown on him from day one. And I think that picking second, they can pick whatever they want. So they have some choices.
How about Daniels? Areas where you're really confident, areas where you worry about him. I will take any of the three, to be honest, but specifically really Mayer Daniels. We've talked about for weeks. I think Commanders fans will be really excited. My concerns is a lot of the analytics coming back now, that the deep numbers on Jaden Daniels, you know, things like pressure to sack percentage or leaving clean pockets or how often he's throwing to wide open receivers. Those things don't bode well, but I know you're more of a scout with your eyeballs. So where are you at on Daniels?
I think the analytics are very important. I think those are great informative pieces, part of the decision-making. I think the best thing Daniels had going for him is he's been throwing to NFL receivers at LSU all season long. And I think what everybody says, well, he had the one good year. He actually has progressed, I think, in years prior to this, learning the system, getting the answers finally offensively from a Brian Kelly offense. So that part kind of came together for him this year. I think he's more of a combination guy between maybe where McCarthy is and where May is, in that he can process, but he can take off and run. Yeah, maybe he will leave some clean pockets occasionally, but I see a poised guy that doesn't get rattled. I think he can get better in all these things, and I see a high ceiling. I see an accurate thrower who makes some throws that just make me say, wow, I can't believe it, both on the run and from the pocket. So I don't have a lot of question. I think the best thing that these guys as a group have going for them is there doesn't seem to be other positional players that are even in the mix that could make you take heed and say, yeah, we can't take this quarterback. It's a little bit of a reach because there's a great defensive lineman or there's a great this or that. Those guys I don't think exist in this draft. So I think it is purely about the quarterback that you like and picking the flavor that fits your scheme best.
Randy, you had such a successful run in front offices. I'm wondering, I have to imagine, like the first couple of days of free agency have to be one of the times where, as a former exec, you miss it the most, or is it the draft or what? In terms of just being in that room with everybody for hours and hours, bunkered down, doing takeout or going to a steakhouse at midnight because you just worked for 10 hours. Like, what were these days like?
They were awesome, and you're right. I miss these days. I absolutely love it. The multitasking that happens from the GM chair, both in free agency and in the draft, are great. Fortunately for me, my work for The Athletic, and I do a podcast called The Football GM on Saturdays every week and write for them. I've ranked all these UFA players, so I've been watching films, so I can actually get what I want out of this, and that's what I do in my spare time anyway. So it almost makes me feel like I'm a one-man scouting department, but I could really, I was satisfied to be able to watch these things and not be held accountable for every move. By radio talk show hosts ripping me when we did this or that,
Relatable.
That's true. We know all about that.
Randy, always a pleasure, yeah, man. Thanks so much for the time and insight.
You bet, guys. Anytime.
Great information. Love having him on. Randy Mueller, he was an executive of the year in the NFL and a former GM. One of the best remaining free agents, just got a massive deal. Maybe the top free agent wide receiver in this class just found a new team. We will give you the details next on Grant and Danny. Here on The Fan.
Third down and eight, empty backfield. Lawrence looking, can't find anyone, spins away. Now Lawrence throws, back of the end zone, touchdown, it's Ridley. His fourth reception of this drive. And his first touchdown as a Jacksonville Jaguar.
Calvin Ridley's stay in Jacksonville was short. I'd say sweet, but just kind of.
It happened.
He was fine. 76 catches for 1,000 yards last year. 13.4 a pop for him with 8 touchdowns. But he is on to Nashville. A 4-year contract with the Titans for Calvin Ridley, who is considered the best wide receiver in this wide receiver class, which has been very stagnant. There's just not a lot going on. I think it's a complete endorsement of the wide receiver draft class where teams feel like they can get a lot better. But in the meantime, Ridley's 29. Remember, he missed a season after his fiasco where he bet on sports. I bet on football.
Bet on football.
Put together a parlay, non-Jaguars, I'm pretty sure. And he wasn't playing at the time, I guess. But he put together like a 3-game parlay, if I remember correctly. And he was out a year, understandably. 4 years, $92 million, that's the fake number, $50 million in guarantees for him for Calvin Ridley to go to Nashville. Here's why I like this. A couple of reasons. Number one, Brian Callahan is the head coach there. They got rid of Mike Vrabel, a successful leader of men defensive-minded coach, which doesn't really work that well in the NFL, at the same rate as having a savant offensive mind who's a good play caller. They went the route of, sorry, Mike Vrabel, who was butting heads with GM Rand Carthen. Carthen handpicks Brian Callahan, who's brought over a pretty good staff. And now Callahan going to call his own plays, needs to make this Will Levis thing work, right? How do you try to make Will Levis better? Go get him some really good weapons. So you've got DeAndre Hopkins, a little long in the tooth end of his career. You've got Treylon Burks, the former number one. He's been a disappointment. Now you're going into year 3 of his career. He's become third on the depth chart. Ridley having been added, but that's three deep at receiver. They've got a couple of pretty good tight ends, including, I always botch the, how to say the guy's name, but Okonkwo, the Maryland Terrapin, who is pretty decent. I mean, he's an athlete. He reminds me a little bit of like David Njoku after the catch. He's huge.
Yeah.
He can make plays. They just signed Tony Pollard, who can catch the ball to the backfield to go with Tajay Spears at running back. So they have a new center they paid a bunch of money to. I think it's pretty clear they're trying to help Will Levis.
Well, yeah, they needed to upgrade. I mean, the talent has been kind of slowly siphoning out of there. I mean, they said, we could let A.J. Brown go. We drafted Treylon Burks. We'll be fine. Not fun at all. They've been a bad offense that's been, you know, just sort of putting Band-Aids on stuff. So they needed an upgrade on that side of the ball big time.
I like that they signed two starters on defense, too. Kenneth Murray. Former L.A. Charger, and Chidobe Awuzie, the defensive back from Cincinnati, who had familiarity, obviously, with Callahan when he was there. I'm pretty sure Bill Callahan's their O-line coach. They had the worst O-line in the sport last year, so they can't be done yet. But Lloyd Cushenberry's a good start, the new center from Denver. And then Callahan maybe getting a little more out of the guys that are already there. Andre Diller, the former Eagle, is their left tackle for the moment. My guess is they sign another offensive lineman, maybe draft one early. They signed Sadiq Charles from Washington for a couple million dollars. So they got a lot of moves they've already made, still a lot to do. I don't know how good they're going to be this year. But I love Calvin Ridley, even though he's 29 years old. Because he missed 2022 and he only played five games in 2021, there's not as much tread on the tires as you'd think.
Right.
Like, he really hasn't played nearly as much football as a guy his age.
Well, you mentioned the receiver market. It's not good. Anybody that can play, T. Higgins is with the Bengals. There's some gruntled there because the franchise tag, he wants to trade. Michael Pittman didn't get to the market because the Colts re-signed him. Other than that, these are your headliners. Mike Williams here as of, you know, this afternoon. Names like Odell Beckham, Curtis Samuel, Tyler Boyd, Michael Thomas. So this was kind of the headliner, right? Looking at Ridley as probably the biggest name. Everybody else is number four, number three. The sort of the Nelson Aguilar train kind of continues. It's a lot of Josh Reynolds and, you know, guys with some wrinkles there, I would say. That aren't necessarily guys that are marquee. This is a pretty depressed receiver market to go with the what is viewed, as you said, an excellent draft class of receivers.
One guy that we just, at the wide receiver position, which is why I bring this up, that we just heard linked to Washington, and this is just a speculative rumor, right? But Randy Mueller, the former GM, was on, and he said, you know, keep an eye on what happens with Keenan Allen in L.A. He's going to become available very likely. And he said that he would make a lot of sense for Washington. Six-time Pro Bowler, former comeback player of the year, over 100 catches again last year.
He'd make sense for anybody.
No kidding. But 100-plus catches now in four of the last five seasons, five of the last seven seasons for him. But he's old.
Yep.
I mean, Keenan Allen's going to be 32 years old soon. Maybe you could get him on a 1 or 2 year deal. He's not a burner by any means, which seems to be what Washington's looking for, but he would provide size where they lack size. He's 6'2 and change, 210 pounds. If you were to draft a May or a Daniels or a McCarthy or whatever it is, I mean, that's a pretty nice target. How much interest would you have in him? Low, medium, or high?
Man, again, the clip is coming at some point, right? But if, as you said, if it's a shorter deal, sign me up. That's a Hall of Famer. Like, that guy is awesome. We sleep on how the kind of years he puts together with shuffling quarterback situations out there in San Diego, then in L.A. The injury history isn't great, but over the last, what is it, since 2017, has only missed a handful of games for the most part.
His last contract was 4 years and $80 million. He's got 1 year left on the deal. They can get out of the deal with some dead cap ahead of this season. Let's just say that it's 3 years at 36, something like that. And the first 2 years are guaranteed, $24 million.
Let's do it.
You're in?
Let's do it. A, I think I'd love him. But B, I love the idea of that calming security blanket / third down war daddy for my young QB to be named later. I love that idea.
Yeah, I'm with you. Not the kind of guy I would typically jump at, but I am thinking a little differently because you got a young quarterback probably coming in here.
100%.
Right?
100%.
He's got to become available, and his guess or proclamation has to, you know, come to fruition.
Chargers are in a terrible cap situation. It seems
I read today they're like $30 million over the cap,
even after some of these moves.
Yeah, so now, they still, well, that was before Williams, I guess. So that helps.
But even still, I mean, I think this is before Williams. They were $16 million over, the functional cap in terms of space. So moves have to be made. They're going to restructure some guys. There's some big name contracts, the Bosas of the world, obviously that's going to happen. But maybe there's a new sheriff in town with Harbaugh. There's a different identity. Maybe they're going to run that three tight end stuff. And
they're definitely going to run the ball a lot.
Yeah.
Keenan Allen, if he's cut, after you've already cut Mike Williams, would mean that they're down to Joshua Palmer and Quentin Johnston.
And they drafted Johnston in the first round last year.
Yeah, but he was terrible.
Yes, he was.
I mean, not only was he not productive, which is a problem, like the underlying metrics, if you will.
The like ungoodness. The,
whether or not you're open, separation score, all that stuff, was like really alarmingly bad for him. So that worries me. But they would have to be back in the wide receiver pool. But you probably feel okay doing that if you're the Chargers, because who knows the college crop better than Jim Harbaugh? I mean, he recruited these guys. He's dealt with them. He's interviewed them personally. He's probably had them stay overnight in his house while he was trying to recruit them. Remember when he did that with like a punter or a kicker or something? But, I mean, he also competed against a lot of these guys and studied them. That's one good thing when you hire a college coach for at least those first couple of years. They are super up on all the college prospects. And you're saving a lot of money by dipping into that pool. I just love this wide receiver group this year. I think it's awesome. It's why, at 36 or 40, I really would love to find a way for the Commanders to draft a wide receiver. I just think you're going to get value there that you normally don't.
I want one of those guys that we like a lot at the back end of the first round. Just a creep. Just a whisper quiet in the shadows creep into the second round. Like a Brian Thomas from LSU, for example, who's supposed to go in the first round. Maybe doesn't. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe people have more needs. Maybe things are happening where everyone has to get a corner or an O-line or whatever. And Washington's put themselves in a spot where, again, we talked about this with free agency. This is not game-changing, you know, put these guys' face on the season tickets that you're trying to sell. This is more soon enough to panic in the draft. Right? Other teams aren't really set up that way right now.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Have you ever driven on Interstate 5? I-5, they're calling
know.
It? So I-5 is a major interstate highway that spans about 1,380 miles, runs north-south through the West Coast states of California, Oregon, and Washington.
Let me look at a map.
Looks like it goes upwards to Vancouver all the way from San Diego.
Then I definitely have. Because I've done that kind of, I can't remember what city
West
I was
Coast
in.
Drive?
Yeah, but like I've done a thing where I had to go over the border into Vancouver,
I think
up
if
the coast.
You went from like L.A. to San Francisco, you probably did this. I bring this up because I saw today that Interstate 5, there was a truck that had a ton of toilet paper.
Oh.
And hundreds, maybe even 1,000, it sounds like, rolls of toilet paper somehow fell out of this truck. I don't think it was a crash. That was the weird part. They didn't use the word accident or crash. They said that the toilet paper somehow fell out of the truck.
Oh.
But I was thinking about this, Danny. What is the worst thing to possibly have to clean up? Like unfurled, unraveled toilet paper by the hundreds of rolls.
Oh, my God.
Gotta be pretty high on that list, right? Like, that is a monotonous, terrible way to have to clean something up.
I didn't even think of that. Because my first instinct is like a liquid that congeals, you know, like some sort of deal that like cement, if it's spilled out, that turns into like, you know, hard stuff that you can't move easily without like jackhammers and things like that. But you're 100% right. The painstaking, how tiny that is, and, you know, having to roll it back up or do something with it, that's such a pain.
The Commanders have just added free agent number 14. And this one is a fun one. Let's get some breaking news.
Breaking news on 106.7 The Fan is brought to you by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Get 3 free days of BetQL access by downloading the BetQL app or visiting BetQL.com. Free agent number 14 is in the saddle for the Washington Commanders. A stunner. The Seahawks former linebacker Bobby Wagner agreeing to a 1-year deal worth up to $8.5 million to come and play under Dan Quinn once again with the Washington Commanders. He was with him in Seattle. He's now here with him in Washington as they try to turn this thing around, boys.
Thank you, Linnell. We'll give you our reactions. Spoiler alert, I love this so much. Bobby Wagner to Washington next on Grant and Danny. With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. News to tend to right now. You heard Linnell break it for you as we were going to break. the Commanders signing Bobby Wagner to a one-year deal. Rap sheet first on this, $6 million guaranteed, $8.5 million for a guy who had 183 tackles last year, a career high. Danny, this is a future Hall of Famer. This is a 9-time Pro Bowler, a 6-time All-Pro. He has won a Super Bowl. He was on the All-2010s team, arguably the best inside linebacker of his era here, post-Ray Lewis. Tackle totals, if you're into this, through the years of, I'll just rattle them off. It's some big numbers. 140, 120, 104, 114, 167, 133, 138, 159, 138, 170, 140, 183. He has led the NFL 3 times, been top 2 or 3 in the NFL 5 times in tackles, including leading the league last year. But he also makes some plays. I mean, he had 11 TFLs last year, 21 the last 2 years, 4 times in his career, double-digit tackles for loss. He has been known to pick off passes from occasion, 3 in the last 3 years, 13 in his career. But here's why I love this, and I don't know where you're at. Again, $6 million ain't nothing. $8.5 million if it goes well. It's a one-year deal.
One-year deal.
Never been a bad one-year deal for a 32-year-old. He's only a year older than London Fletcher was when he came in, by the way. So for people that say he's too old, screw that. He's a year older than London was when he came in here and spent 6 years running the locker room. This is there is a new sheriff running the locker room right now, this moment, with all due respect to John Allen and some of the dudes that have been around here kind of leading the huddle. Uh-uh. That's Bobby Wagner's job. That's Bobby Wagner's music. They're going to move Luvu all over the place. Frankie Luvu, I was thinking, is your Mike linebacker coming downhill? Not anymore.
Nope.
Bobby Wagner's in that spot, and Luvu is playing off ball outside, taking Jamin Davis's job. He's coming off the edge. I love the possibilities for Luvu with Wagner taking the Mike spot. Davis becomes basically the third linebacker as you continue to commit to a position that Rivera completely neglected. They hated the linebacker position. They didn't care about it. After Jamin Davis, they basically said, we'll use 2 or 1 at a time, and it'll be David Mayo a lot. Cool. Not up in here, not anymore. I love this move.
So you touched on all the reasons why I like it. I'm nowhere near as excited maybe as others might be. It's a one-year deal. I don't care if he makes 1 tackle. I don't care if he makes 1,000. Like, it's a one-year deal. So in other words, to me, this is a dramatic improvement at a spot that, as you said, they have been whatever's past bargain basement shopping. This is what the bargain basement throws out. That's what they've done at the linebacker spot. It means Jamin Davis has a much more reduced role, which is great for me. Less of him, I think, is probably good in terms of this defense and a higher ceiling. It frees up Luvu, kind of as you alluded to. I don't know how much he has left in the tank, and I don't care because it's not a 4-year deal. It's not signing him at top of market type stuff, winning a bidding war with a couple other teams in the NFC West. No. It's a 1-year deal. Win.
There was no evidence last year that he doesn't have a lot left in the tank.
You would say that
he does,
right?
200 tackles.
Yeah.
I mean, now, you were playing on a defense where you were allowed to roam and be physical, and it was kind of putting you on a pedestal. But if Payne and Allen do what they're supposed to do and who we think that they are, why shouldn't you be able to roam around and make plays on the second level at the linebacker spot? Let's go to Andre in Manassas on G&D. What's up, Dre?
Hey, I'm doing well. Listen, the last time I felt this so good was the Thursday night before the Bears game. I'm really, really excited about this stuff. Like, I'll say this, it's, you know, I don't know if any other coach would have been able to put this type of, I say coach, and I don't know if it's the coaching staff or is it whether or not it's the GM, but, you know, I got to believe in terms of the coaching staff is history. I'm really excited about this defense. I'm really excited what, you know, looks like it's going to happen. And, you know, I went from thinking that this team was, you know, maybe 4, 5, 6 games and stuff like that. And, you know, right now where the bar is, I'm like, hey, you know, I'm probably expecting more than, you know, 7, 8 wins or a season. And I don't know whether or not, I guess the other part of the story is, are you really going to trot out a rookie quarterback, you know, when you have some of these good players there? So, I mean, you can speculate all you want, I guess, I suppose. And that's the beauty of this offseason. But I'm having an enjoyable offseason this year so far.
Appreciate you, dude.
Yeah, it's a lot more enjoyable when the team is actually aggressively trying to improve by spending money and getting better.
Interesting. I should write
that down.
It's
weird how much more fun the offseason is when you're using the time allotted to signing talent to sign talent.
But it's also way too early to do win speculation. I mean, we have no idea even who the rookie quarterback is. We have no idea how the rest of their draft's going to go, or free agency or otherwise, what happens in the division, who bumps their shin on a coffee table in the division that changes things. No one has any idea just yet. It's, you know, I don't want to say irresponsible to start prognosticating that, but it's not a fruitful exercise. What I do know is the talent level for this coming year is going to be dramatically different than this past year. Now, that's a dubious honor because it was frankly unacceptable last season, and that kind of came home to roost and played out as the season went. But it's better. I don't know how much better, and that's going to be fun to find out.
We talked about this when Dan Quinn was hired, and I always feel like I have to provide the caveat. Obviously, it wasn't my first choice. I'm not sitting here beating the Dan Quinn drum for everyone and trying to convince you that it was the greatest hire ever. However, one of the perks to bringing him in, as we said, was that Dan Quinn was going to build a really good staff. One of the other perks we talked about was players like playing for him. And you are seeing the reunion with Dan Quinn thing becoming a big deal, right? Where Dorrance Armstrong leaves Dallas, comes to Washington. Part of that is that they're paying him good money. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't assume that part of the reason that he came to the nation's capital was because of Dan Quinn, right? Tyler Biadasz knew Dan Quinn very well from Dallas. Dante Fowler with the Cowboys, signing. Third Dallas Cowboy to come to play with his boy Dan Quinn. Bobby Wagner, way back early in his career in Seattle, played in Dan Quinn's defense. And obviously had a pleasant enough experience that here we are, he's a free agent,
yep.
Wants to get another gig and sign, you know, a one-year contract and see what's what. Where does he go? Back with Dan Quinn.
This was not on my radar, I'll tell you that. I thought once they did Luvu, that was going to kind of be it for that linebacker spot. I did not see this one coming.
So look at the difference at the linebacker position, though.
Yeah.
I mean, night and day when this thing got started where it was Jamin Davis and the Island of Misfit Toys, and now you've got Bobby Wagner, who's going to be your Mike, Frankie Luvu, who you can move all over the place, who could do a little bit of everything, and Davis can still run. I think they're going to use Davis as a pass rusher a little bit, like Micah Parsons style,
blitzer.
Off the edge, maybe. We should get into that next. What does this mean for Jamin Davis, for Luvu, and how they can use all these guys? We're Grant and Danny on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.